Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Here's Johnny podcast. I am your host, Larry.
And I am your other host, Justin. Doing things a little bit differently this week, so sorry if it's a little rough. I'm trying a new setup.
You can tell them what's going on in the background so they're aware.
Basically, I got this thing that lets me like live mix in all of our music and a bunch of other shit, so I'm basically,
and apparently it's more valuable than his PS5.
Okay, well, I wasn't going to tell people that, but that's okay. But yeah, so I don't know. I'm still kind of learning it. So, anyways, it's a really nice mixer, but might be a little rough this week, just as I'm learning.
Yeah,
but
it'll be okay. Yeah, we've got a jam-packed episode.
Yes,
we have a special announcement and potential guest at the very end. Make sure you stick around for that. We want to first say thank you to our newest patron. You know her, you love her, her laugh is famous. That is Rachel of the Zombie Girl podcast. Yeah,
thank you, Rachel.
Yeah, she has joined. She has selected her Kaiju Forest entry. It is Underwater, starring Kristen Stewart. Me and Justin both haven't seen it.
Nope.
And we are awaiting her nomination for the crappy Kaiju movie, which will be released at the end.
Oh, man, I am worried about that one, let me tell you.
There are some gems on that, yeah. And so we're going to get into what we've been doing. I have a no-spoiler review for the film Hunted, which is a Shudder original, which embargo lifts Monday, the day you get this episode, and will be available to all of you on the 14th, I believe. We'll talk about what we've been up to, what we've been playing and all that. But Justin knows, because I've been filling him in since he's in Canada and kind of watching from afar.
Yes.
Some shit went down in America yesterday as we record.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. It feels like shit is constantly going down in America, but this was kind of on a different scale.
Yeah, like I told my wife, it's kind of exhausting living through history. it's kind of mentally a rough. But if for some reason you've been living in a van and had no internet out and just living that good life, the sitting president of the United States held a rally where he was encouraging his supporters to march on the Capitol building and force the legislative branch to change the vote and keep him as president. And well, they listened and they went. And for the first time since the War of 1812, the U.S. Capitol was breached by militant adversaries. The Confederate flag, which we fought a whole war against to end slavery, was seen in multiple pictures being happily flown in the hallways. Shockingly enough, later on in the evening, some senators, Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz are the first names that come to mind, were still trying to do what they could at the president's behest to change the results of the election. This fat little piece of shit named Matt Gaetz from Florida, he's a congressman, somehow, some way, is trying to say it was Antifa and not President Trump's mega loyalists who stormed the House. Well, Justin, I was texting you during this. Yesterday, I got home from work. I was eating lunch. I was watching some Triple D. For those who don't know, that's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, Guy Fieri's show.
Yeah, welcome to Flavor Town and whatnot.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I recently got Discovery Plus, and I'm starting at the very beginning, and just especially since I'm on a diet. And my friend Kyle, he's one of our patrons, he texted me, and he's like, you watch what's happening in D.C.? And I was like, I don't care about like that kind of stuff. He's like, no, dude, like shit's going down. And that was around like 2:30, and I was glued to the TV until about 3 a.m. I haven't really talked about it at length out loud. Like, me and Devin have talked about it. She didn't know what was going on until she got home from work. like she's an accountant. They don't really do, they're very busy. Like, yeah. They actually do work. And there's a firewall and she doesn't have like Twitter or Instagram or stuff. So she was unaware until she got home. But I guess I want to make it really, really clear in case we haven't made it clear before on this show that we are incredibly against anybody who is racist or sexist or transphobic or homophobic or any of that shit.
Oh, you can get the right the fuck out of here if you are. Yeah. Like, we don't want you here.
And the biggest thing for me, and this is what I kind of wanted to talk to you about because this is a forum and you said you're okay with me talking about
Absolutely.
It, is I have family members, and I'm talking direct family members, who are buying in to the false flag operation bullshit, that the media set it up, that it wasn't that bad, that even if they did do it, they deserved to do it because the election was being stolen. And I think in the past on this podcast, especially we talked about it earlier when Rachel has been on, we've gone into politics. I have tried to give the benefit of the doubt to people who support Trump and tried to think of reasons why they would support him outside of the blatantly obvious. And after yesterday, and watching it happen live, like I didn't even need the commentators, right? I watched it happen live. And then seeing people post stuff on social media or get texts from, say it, parents, and this is different. This is fucked. I want to make it incredibly clear that at this point, if you listen to my podcast, sorry, if you listen to our podcast, if you listen to me and Justin, and you rationalize this president's bullshit, if you support what happened yesterday in any stance, if you support Ted Cruz or Josh Hawley or Matt Gaetz, if you think that the president shouldn't be tried for sedition and for rallying up that crowd and sticking them on the legislative branch, you are a fucking moron. You are the reason why we can't have nice things. You are the reason why COVID has been as bad in the United States as it has been. You are the reason why black people are still oppressed in this country. You are the reason why everything that is wrong is going on. I will no longer give anyone the benefit of the doubt. I have deleted people off of Facebook and social media because I'm done. There is no more ground to give. I thought we could try, and I had people like Kyle and Rachel tell me that I was probably fighting a losing battle, but it was important to me to try. But these people, if they don't change their ways, will not be involved in my future family. Like, whenever Dev and I decide to have kids, they're not going to be involved. I don't want them around. I don't want their bullshit around. I am utterly exhausted. I am ashamed. As someone who grew up loving American history and wanting to learn more, I mean, I went to West Point for 2 years. I have friends who served in the military. And to see what happened, to see these spins and to see these people try to cover their ass and have people like Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz who were actively fundraising while terrorists were storming the U.S. Capitol building and then pretend like they didn't do anything wrong. Enough is enough. Get the fuck off my podcast. Don't listen to us. Don't support us. I don't want your money. Go back to your hole and know that America is changing and we aren't tolerating this shit anymore. And I guess that's just kind of what I wanted to say.
I mean, that's fair. Yesterday, I mean, obviously I'm got like an outsider perspective of it, so I wasn't obviously right there, but I mean, I agree. Like if you subscribe to any of that bullshit, just go.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want you here.
Yeah. I would much rather have
I'll the refund people. All. I mean, I know our patrons aren't that way, but if you were secretly, I'll refund all the money right out of my bank account that you've given us.
Yeah. Like, no, I agree.
Get the fuck off.
Yeah, get out of here. We don't want you here. Don't come near us. Don't even try. Really don't. Just
my last straw, and maybe I have been too kind and I have tried too hard to be understanding, but I'm done now. That's all I want to say about that. We're going to move on to happier things. Justin, I want you to tell us what you've been up to, but first, I have been told by two people who have been watching the majority of our streams that you are playing Dark Souls like a small little baby, and they think that you should actually have to go back and refight most of the bosses since you have been taking the, and this is a direct quote, Canadian way out.
So
I won't say who said stuff. I'm just
I know it was Doug. It's okay. I know it was Doug. No, actually it's funny. Me and Doug had a long conversation yesterday.
Cool.
He was I'm going to try and say the boss's names without spoiling it.
Please do, because you are way ahead of me. I was supposed to play a lot this week, which I'll get into, but
yeah.
Oh, but yes, whatever. Continue.
I took down a couple bosses yesterday without summoning.
Okay, I didn't hear that.
Yes.
Good job. I was kind of glued to the TV.
Apparently one of them that is very difficult, I took down without even taking a hit.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So you're into a flawless, no hit run?
Oh, God, no. Actually, Doug, who I know is the one who said that, also was the one who told me that I officially got good. Yeah, there was two. I'm trying to remember. So there was the guy you're about to fight. I tried like twice and was like, fuck this.
The Iron Golem?
Yeah. I was like, fuck this.
I ran into him when I was trying to find the fireplace.
Yeah, oh, I watch. but yeah, no, I when I came across him, I was like, I was just kind of done. I was like, okay, whatever. I'll just summon, get through it, whatever. And then the fight after that is I knew going into it. That, I mean, I've told you, it's the fight that I know I was going to summon for. I just wanted to get out of the way because it is one that when I previously played, when Dark Souls came out.
Org and Smog or something.
Ornstein and Smog, yeah. I like spent like months trying to beat them and I couldn't. So I went in there once, got my ass handed to me, I think I did like 30 damage and then I just summoned and basically sat in the corner like a cuck and just watched everything happen. So
I have no idea what happens in that fight. And like kind of, I think I've told you this, but my plan is I will do 15 fights with my own strategy.
Yeah.
If I think I'm going to do better, I'll keep going. I do take advice from the chat, but if I'm getting pummeled, I haven't used like any humanity. I think I have like 30 humanity in my inventory. So I'll call. If I need to, I'll just call some stuff up and just let my sun god do it.
Yeah,
so.
There are some areas that I know, for example, Doug has been watching and was like, oh, I can't wait. Let's see. I got to count all the deaths. And then I get to the end and I haven't died. And he's kind of disappointed.
Yeah, I was told by the P, he's in our Discord also, yep. He watches. Apparently, Doug missed the first half of my Sen's Fortress stream.
Oh, he went back and watched it all.
Oh, you heard?
Oh, yeah. He jumped on the stream.
It was the greatest thing he's ever seen.
Yeah, he said it was his favorite piece of American film history or something like that.
I'll talk about that when it gets to me, but wow. Yeah, okay.
but so kind of, obviously, to roll back a little bit, I've been playing a fuck ton of Dark Souls. This won't make any sense to you right now, but I'm sure by the time we get to this next week, it will. I went and got the Lord Vessel, and I have one.
What is that?
You'll figure it out.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil it for you, so I figure if I just say
the
name, you'll figure it out kind of when you get there and you get it.
Okay.
I'm done the Crystal Cave and what is at the end of that. I'm done the catacombs. I need to go through the Temple of Giants still, and I'm in New Londo right now.
So my fear,
yes,
is I like, is it going to keep telling me where to go next? Because I know once I rung the two bells, it showed me to go to Sens. Like, will it keep telling me where to go, or will I need like help?
So I'm going to tell you this right now.
I don't want to get lost because like time is rapidly approaching. We have like a month till this review.
So after you beat Ornstein Smog, some new mm-hmm. areas open up. And okay. it doesn't tell you where they are. It just shows you the door how to get there, but you have okay. no idea where these doors are. You okay, have well, to go
chat, find chat will oh. help you. Like I said, I don't mind backseat gaming. You. It's more I just don't want to get lost, get stuck on something, and then not have it done in time. Like that's a big thing.
Oh man, I don't there is two areas that almost broke me last night, and that's the first time I've ever felt that shitty playing Dark Souls okay. and like to the point where in the stream I was just like okay I one more death and then I gotta stop tonight because I can't go to bed mm-hmm. feeling this shitty and it happened so yeah it's although okay. I will say other than those like few bosses that I just like man whatever just fucking gave up and did the easy way it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've enjoyed myself. Even since I enjoyed myself. Yeah,
like it's difficult and frustrating, but there's something about overcoming it. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't really have an interest in like Dark Souls 2 before this, but I think we'll talk obviously after I want to see how we both feel after.
I'm not playing the Dark Souls game this season.
Okay.
Not with Death Stranding and we added some other stuff too. Yeah. We haven't mentioned yet, I don't think.
No, we don't.
There are the other stuff. We have a lot of bigger games that are still ahead of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But we'll talk about it. But I think.
I bought them and I plan on playing them. Okay. But I'm also not doing that to myself.
That's fair. That is very fair. Other than that, I've been playing Persona 5.
Cool.
They recently added all the soundtracks to Spotify, so
fun.
That's been my jam on repeat until from when I get to work till when I get home. And other than that, I watched Palm Springs, the like Groundhog's Day movie with Andy Samberg and the mom cool. from How I Met Your Mother. Mm-hmm. It was like a fun rom-com. That was good.
All right.
Fuck, I'm trying to think. Oh, I obviously watched Goosebumps. And other than that, though, I just been playing so much Dark Souls, and I'm like, I am in it now. Oh, I basically when we're done recording this, if I didn't have to work tomorrow, I would probably stream it. But yeah, other than that, what about yourself, Larry?
So I've also been playing Dark Souls a lot less this week. I've been very busy with like work has really picked up. I have an experiment that's really going off. Like tomorrow, I have to go in super early again. It's just been crazy. Played Dark Souls on stream. The biggest thing, I guess, game-wise, is I beat Final Fantasy VII Remake.
That is finally.
I did it on stream. Finally. I slow played it on purpose. It has nothing to do with not enjoying it. The game is amazing. The ending was just awesome. I'm so excited for more. And then the saddest part is that I beat it. And now the feeling that I was trying to avoid is here is how long is Square going to make me wait, because I just keep thinking about Kingdom Hearts 2 and that wait after that game, and then when 3 was what 3 was, just that disappointment. I'm really hoping to avoid that.
I mean personally I think by the end of next year we are either going to get 16 or part 2.
That's still a long time. I know. That's a long time.
It happens. That's like what, 2.5 years though? That's a long time.
That's a long time for a part one of a game that we know. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, I agree 100%.
It's a long. Like, it should be a yearly drop. It should. If they weren't ready for it to be, they should. I don't know. I've already ran it enough. We'll save that for another time. But besides that, I haven't played Destiny yet this week. I'm going to raid tomorrow night to get my last thing to get my title for the Deepstone Crypt. I have to do like some like weekly stuff. I just haven't had time. I didn't play Dead by Daylight this week. Gaming, I've been really slacking. I watched Goosebumps, obviously. I watched a film called Hunted, which we're going to do a review for real quick. Like I mentioned, I don't think I told you, I canceled my Netflix subscription.
Oh, interesting.
Dev and I have been talking. We just haven't been watching a lot of the stuff that I used to throw on, like The Office and Frasier and Friends and all those like shows. And like Trailer Park Boys, like they're all like, gone or leaving. And so Discovery Plus just came out this week. It's got like Food Network, HGTV, Discovery Channel, BBC, like a bunch of like channels like that. and it's only $6 a month for no commercials, and it has the entire back catalog from all those networks. So I was like, we can save literally $11 a month, and if like we aren't watching it, I have Amazon Prime, so I have Prime Video.
Yeah.
So it's like I don't need Netflix, and like I don't want to spend all that money. So I did end up canceling Netflix. If we have stuff that we want to watch and stuff, I can always get on it. I mean, there's always a way to get to it.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Besides that, I've been listening to audiobooks. I'm on the last Harry Potter book right now.
Oh, right on.
I almost finished that whole journey on those books. It's been fun. I think I'm going to do the Aragon series next. I'm actually reading Christopher Pliny's newest book and his first book since releasing the Aragon. It's called To Sleep in a Sea of Stars, I think is what it's called. I don't want to spoil anything. I'm about 100 pages in. It's starting off kind of alien-y.
Interesting.
And I'm enjoying it. I'm very intrigued to see where it goes. But yeah, besides that, it's been a crazy start to the year. My diet's going well. I think a few people know I used to chew some tobacco every once in a while, but I've quit that.
I just want to say congratulations again smoker of 13 years. Yeah, like as a smoker of 13 years, actually in a week is my 6-year anniversary of not smoking, but as a smoker of 13 years, I get the struggle. I really do.
Yeah, I bought some of these. They're called grinds. It's just like black coffee.
Okay.
And they're like in pouches, so you can still put it in there. And so that's been kind of cool. But yeah, it's been a week. We've been doing stuff in the background. One of the things we're going to talk about at the end of the podcast, again, not to tease it, but it is something really big. And I feel like I haven't been around to like help because I've just been so swamped with everything. But I think next week, especially after tomorrow, I'm doing a digestion on some cells, and it should give me some clarity about which of these plates I need to keep. And I might be able to cut my work like down to a tenth of what it currently is.
Oh, that's awesome. More time for Dark Souls.
Yeah.
You got to catch up because you are obviously at the end of Sen's Fortress.
Yes.
So looking at a walkthrough, I just want to tell you, looking at a walkthrough before, I know we're going to go into the Hunted review, but I just
want to tell you. You're good. I'll talk about it.
Okay. Looking at a walkthrough, you are at Sen's Fortress. Sen's Fortress is about halfway.
Okay, cool. Okay, then I'll be fine. Because now that Final Fantasy is done, I'm about to finish up the last few things I need for Destiny to get the titles I want.
Yeah.
I'll be in a good spot. I won't start a new game until I finish up.
Okay. Yeah, because I think, so you're about 50, I'm about 75%. I know it sounds like a big percentage different, but it's really not. Okay. It is, I promise you, it is really not.
Okay. And then, so patrons, again, we apologize. When it comes to Shudder, just the way the dates fall, if you want to hear a non-spoiler review for the film Hunted, you're going to have to listen to the Monday drop because it won't be on yours. But Justin, use that fancy mixer, play some music, and let's get into that non-spoiler review. So Hunted is a 2020 action thriller film from Belgium, actually.
Funny enough.
It is in English. From director Vincent Parnaud. I had not heard of anything else that he had done. He was one of the writers as well. And the tagline of the film is, "The company of wolves is better than that of man." I don't want to spoil too much, but I will give you what Shudder has as their little tag for the summary.
Yeah, absolutely.
What started as a flirtatious encounter at a bar turns into a life or death struggle as Eve becomes the unknowing target of a misogynistic plot against her, forced to flee as two men pursue her through the forest. She's pushed to her extremes while fighting to survive, but survival isn't enough for Eve. She will have revenge, a modern and radical take on the Little Red Riding Hood fable. Hunted is exhilarating. Oh, that's That's their opinion. Let's talk about mine. Okay. Devin and I watched it this afternoon. No spoilers or anything.
Yeah.
It is incredibly gruesome.
Like gory or kind of more left up to your imagination? Because I think you can be gruesome.
It's not Saw,
okay,
but it's gruesome. It's like, it's in your face, but it's not like stupid gory. That's okay. Why I use gruesome instead of gory.
Yeah, okay. I can get that now, yeah.
It's dark. Like the violence is never hidden from you, but they also don't like shove it down your throat. For me, if you listen to our joint review back when Justin had COVID of The Perfection and Revenge, I always have a hard time watching revenge.
Okay, yeah.
Revenge movies. This is like the perfect kind of pill for me because that is what this movie is, but there is none of the rape.
Okay. I think I understand. I mean, obviously, okay. It's hard not.
Yeah. But it was really good. I mean, me and Devin both liked it. It gets weird at times. I don't want to spoil anything, but there are times in the film where certain things happen that breaks the immersion. And so when it's really tight and really tense and like called itself a thriller, when those weird things happen, it takes you out of what's going on.
Okay. Now, did you find, I'm just obviously sticking to our categories here. Did you find that when, I mean, the weird stuff happened, did you find that it kind of like broke the plot as well?
A couple times.
Okay.
The cinematography, like, overall is really good and really consistent. There's a really weird, like, Tim Burton-y bit at the very beginning. I don't know a better way to describe it than that. But besides that, it's really well shot. Some cool things go on. The acting is great all across the board, even though you can tell that English is not the first language of the actors in the film. It's a very small cast. They all do a great job. As far as how scary, I think that it could definitely trigger some people. Because, again, I would put this in, like, a rape-revenge kind of category.
Okay.
But it's nothing like Last House on the Left or...
Like, Spit in a Grave or anything. Yeah, okay, that's
good. It's nothing like that. But it's still... it's still, like, that genre of film.
Well, that's good. obviously it's not good. But, I mean, that's... makes it a easier, like you said, if there isn't the rape involved, it definitely makes it like an easier
movie to watch. Easier entry into it. Yeah.
So how was the gore you mentioned there is, they don't shy away from it.
But when they do it, it is the good kind. It's the kind that I like. This podcast, though, you're aware that I'm not a big fan of it. So when it is there, it's got to be like, subtle, and that's what it is.
Do you ever get like close-ups of it, and like, does it look great? Good. It doesn't look like fake. Like,
nope.
Is there any like shitty CGI or anything in it?
No.
That's good.
Not.
That's
what there's that weird sequence in the beginning I was telling you about, but I don't want to spoil anything.
Okay, there's CGI in there. Okay.
No, it's not CGI though.
Okay. Oh,
it's just weird. I was saying it's not CGI. It's just weird. If you watch it, especially when I said like the Tim Burton, you'd understand.
Okay. All right. Well, so I guess to wrap it up then, how scary did you find it?
It was scary? Stressful at times, but what broke the scariness for me in particular is there are some things that happen that break the immersion, and then you're more just like, what the hell? Like, what is going on?
Yeah. Okay.
And like, so it doesn't like ruin the movie, but it definitely takes you out of like that vibe of being afraid.
Okay. Interesting. That kind of sucks. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But even with all that being said, like obviously we don't like score it and we just be brief about it. It's watch it now, watch it later or skip it. I'd say watch it now. There's not really a whole lot of like new horror out, especially with COVID still being a thing. Yes, it is still a thing. I enjoyed it. It's only 90 minutes, which for me is nice, especially after watching Wonder Woman 84, and that just was a disappointment in so many regards. The biggest is that it had no reason being 2.5 hours long. I liked it. I did like it. I did like it. Devin liked it too. So
that's good.
And I think that's also something to mention because it is a woman watching a rape revenge movie. So if she feels that it was good and handled well, I think that bodes well too. But the film will premiere on Shudder Thursday, January 14th. We want to thank Shudder and our contact Sean Redditz for hooking us up with the screener. And yeah, so that's all I have. It's cool to have something again. I have another thing in 2 weeks I need to talk about, but that's not
until then. Oh, exciting, exciting.
But Justin, it's time. Play. I hope you have it lined up.
I have it lined up for something else.
Ah, bummer. Play that music and let's get into our review of One Day at Whoreland. So Justin, I think it is important to note that there is not many occasions on this podcast where you demand something be included.
Yes.
I'm not sure if it's the Canadian in you, but you are always willing to go with the flow. You change your mind. There's you have a lot of variance.
Yes.
With that being said, like I was never going to fight you because I like Goosebumps. You were the driving force behind including this. So I want you to tell everybody before we get into the background and our review, what about One Day at Whoreland made you want to include it on this season of Kaiju?
So when I think about Goosebumps, the television show,
okay,
there are three episodes I think of constantly.
All right, let's see the match me.
Okay. Obviously, Night of the Living Dummy.
Yep, Slappy.
Yep, Slappy is a staple of the series. I mean, he's basically the face of it now.
Yep.
Haunted Mask is the other one.
Yep.
That is, I mean, I actually didn't realize this until I was looking it up. That's the first episode of this TV show.
Yeah.
Like, that is insane. And then obviously third is
Mary One Beth. Yeah. Mary Beth.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, and
if you head over to our Patreon, you can listen to me read you the first few chapters of it. But no one seemed to like it, so I stopped doing it.
Well, we'll have to do like a dramatization of it or something like that. We'll figure something out.
Okay.
But yeah, and then third is One Day at Whoreland. I mean, it was one of my favorite Goosebump books growing up. I would constantly read it. It was the one I kept rereading. And it's weird because, I mean, obviously Kaiju and kind of the video gamey take of on it for us to fit games into it is just kind of general monsters. And I figured, I mean, obviously they're monsters, they're called horrors, and they're not giant, but they're big. So it kind of suited
it
a little bit.
Regular size spiders, buddy, you're good.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, I mean, it's they're monsters. They say it themselves. And interestingly enough, this is a pretty good adaptation of the book. It's been a long time since I read the book.
Goosebumps did a really good job overall at bringing the books to the page. I mean, to the screen.
There are only like the only real like notable differences are the end of the show, the end of the episode, are the only noticeable differences. Which I was kind
of. Are you specifically talking about Whoreland?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And obviously, kind of to bring it back around a little bit, Larry, I am going to let you still do the 60 seconds.
No, we agreed, sir. You're doing it.
I said I would do the background.
No, I asked you last week. You said you would do both. I have not prepared.
Either have I.
Absolutely not. I have a stopwatch pulled up for everything.
Oh, okay.
That was slick. I appreciate it, but no dice, sir.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do the background for it this week to give Larry a break. We've done a lot of movies because we have this giant game staring down at us.
And we have more movies ahead.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then 2 weeks. Oh, man. I'm not even going to talk about that now. I'm stressing out about it. But so I figured I'd just get started unless you have anything you'd like to say a bit.
No, I would just say my top three kind of line up with you: Haunted Mask, Night of the Living Dummy, specifically part three, the one with Darth Vader in it. And the third one for me would be Night in Terror Tower. I remember having that book. VHS as a kid.
I don't remember the show, like the episode of that, but I do remember the book. I mean, we talked about this last week.
Yeah, I remember the episode. I remember going to the library and like getting the VHS with the guy in the hood on it, and like the magic stones and the time traveling, and like I just remember being like spellbound. And I would watch it over and over and over again, and. Yeah, so those are like there are other ones I remember too, like The Masked Mutant or whatever.
There's a bunch I remember, but like the three I mentioned are the three that like
the three episodes
instantly come to mind. And yes, episodes, not books. Books for me, it's weird. I kind of think of like different books every time, except for One Day at Horrorland is basically a staple for me as well in the books.
Well, then let's talk about it. Go for it, buddy.
Okay, so Goosebumps is a Canadian-American television series based on R.L. Stine's best-selling Goosebumps books.
My great aunt actually went to college with him here at Capital University in Columbus.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Huh. I don't remember this, but I was told I actually met R.L. Stine when I was like in kindergarten.
And you don't remember it? You're
I don't know
who you are, Larry. I don't know who you are. So obviously trying to find out information about this TV show is actually really hard.
I'm sure.
Like next to impossible. I did find out that they kind of throughout the whole series they had I think it was like five directors that they'd kind of go back and forth between. The director of this episode's name, his name is William Fruit, and he is known for like a bunch of kind of indie B kind of movies. He is from from Canada though, so that's that was kind of nice. I just kind of lost myself. Sorry.
It's okay. You're editing so you can fix it. No one needs to know.
Yeah, I'll probably just leave it in. So the run of the show went from the 27th of October in 1995 to the 16th of November in 1998. Depending on where you go, it's like the amount of seasons are like different because I guess in each region they cut them up differently.
I think on my Netflix it was four seasons and then specials.
And then on Prime, where I watched it, Google Play, there's six seasons and two collections. So it's, and apparently somewhere else there's like three seasons. I don't know. So it's I didn't even bother figuring out exactly, but all in all, there's 74 episodes.
Okay.
And
it's pretty good.
I mean, it was fantastic. I mean, everybody knows Goosebumps, the show. I mean, you'll hear the tune here in a second, but everybody knows it. But that's really all I could find out about the show. So I kind of wanted to talk about the book a little bit because I found out some really interesting information about the book.
Fun.
So I guess the publisher ran like a big contest to see what the fan favorite book of the series was. And it actually went to One Day at Horrorland. Not only that.
Really?
R.L. Stine himself has said One Day at Horrorland is his favorite Goosebumps book.
Really?
Yeah. And it is the only book in the series that actually spun off into an entire series.
Are you sure about that? Because I know that Slappy So he is slowly accumulating an original set by going to, well, it's paused dramatically during COVID, but whenever I go to like the Half Price Books near me, I always pop in and I have a list on my phone of which of the original paperbacks I need to get.
Yeah.
And I've seen in the R.L. Stein section that there is like a spin-off collection from Slappy.
So I believe, so when I was looking it up, what I could find is that the Slappy thing is like an anthology, like just a book, like a collection of short stories, basically.
Okay.
The Welcome to Horror, sorry, Goosebumps Horrorland is a series, and it's actually got 19 books in it, spanning two arcs, and it actually contains like a bunch of monsters from Goosebumps, and a bunch like Slappy is in the Horrorland series, and it's got like a bunch of like original characters, and yeah, so those books came out from between April 2008 and January 2011. Apparently, there was a 20th book being written, but it was canceled. I couldn't find anything out about that.
Okay.
But it also spawned off One Day at Horrorland. It spawned off a sequel. I have it all on my phone here, and I'm trying to find it, but every time I load up this page, it jumps back to the top. It spawned off three video games. It was actually supposed to be the second movie that came out a couple years ago was actually supposed to be One Day at Horrorland.
That movie was missing Jack Black quite a bit.
I agree. I actually really like the first movie. Yeah, the second movie is, you know, it's okay.
It was missing that Jack Black heart.
Oh, absolutely. I am going to get into it with the 60 seconds, but I just want to talk about the main difference at the end of the show versus the end of the book.
Okay.
At the end of the book, there's a bunch of like no pinching signs around Horrorland, and that's how they escape, as they start pinching.
That's right. Oh my God. I forgot about that. Oh my
and
God. Yeah.
They steal a bus, drive home, and they discover that a horror had clung to the back of the bus. And then once they kind of get off once the monster leaves the bus, he gives them free passes to go back next year. But the game show that they were on was actually not for them to be eaten as lunch, but basically for them to be like mutilated.
Oh my Lord.
Okay. Yeah. Which led me to kind of look up the second, the sequel to the book, and man, Return to Horrorland is the book. I mean, it was in like the Goosebumps 2000s.
Oh my God. Like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, there's like kids throwing up blood and stuff in Goosebumps 2000. I don't fucking remember it. Yeah. And it like with the original characters returning, obviously they go back to Horrorland. It's a fucking big thing, but there's like a lot of like really weird details about like each book in the series, and it's really interesting. And more than anything, I would say if you are interested in the Goosebumps series if you were as a kid, now as an adult, go back and like just doom scroll Wikipedia and like IMDb. You can find there's like a ton of shit. It like span at one point in time, I had like 30 tabs open because cool. They made like three games about this one book, and like, by the way, we're not playing any of those games. They're all like educational kid bullshit, but
bummer.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I gotta fucking try to remember this show because I
appreciate you trying to pull that fast one on me, but joke's on you. You agreed.
I know.
I have a stopwatch. I'm gonna give you a 3, 2, 1, and you're gonna tell us about Horrorland. Are you ready?
I'm gonna butcher it, but yeah, sure, I guess.
You should have told me earlier today because I probably would have done it for you.
God damn it.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so the Morris family is driving in their car, going on the way to Zoo Gardens. Their car gets like attacked basically by fireballs, and this weird little horror head shows up. And their car breaks down. They end up parking in this parking lot. It turns out to be a amusement park. Anyways, they get in, there's like monsters everywhere. They think they're fake. There are people in costumes. They all split up because for some reason it takes an hour to look for directions. The kids kind of go off onto the rides and realize something's a little amiss. The kid gets in a coffin with the spider, which is fucking terrifying. The parents go and get like find a condiment stand, basically, and the dude like opens up his fingernail to give him that juice. It's fucking gross. They realize something's kind of amiss. They try to leave. They can't leave. It says once you go in, you can't leave, or unless you're dead or something like that. They call him. So they all, the horrors grab them, bring them to a game show to win a car to get out. They go through this weird game show. It turns out that they're going to eat them. Yeah. Bunch of shit I missed. That's okay. I'm okay with that.
Well, you also went into a lot of detail. You just happened to not get to the end.
The end of this, man. Okay. The end of this is like the biggest. I wish that they did not change the end of this. I wish they kept it to the book because I actually don't like the end of this show.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All the episodes in the show end with that giant cliffhanger.
I know,
so
but
the way
this
it
one
ends
is
they escape, but they had a remote on the bottom of their car, and the monster holds it over the edge, and then it goes to a monster's in a house, and like there's monsters watching them. So it's like they're
it's
world
too
of
late.
Monsters.
I can't watch human TV. Or human horror shows.
So plot is the first thing. Yeah. I'm going to let you go first, but I do want to make note that this is for children. This is probably the most for children we have had easily Scary Stories Tell in the Dark.
Okay, I was going to say, you made me review Scary Stories in the Dark as
mad.
If I was a
I'm
child.
Just saying, I'm just saying we need to like keep that in mind when we talk about it.
Oh, see, I think the reason that it was perfect to choose this is because I feel like we both watched this as a kid. So yep. I remember how I felt watching this as a kid. And I won't lie, like there was a lot of nostalgia going back and watching it.
Sure.
I'm not going to lie, it's only been like 2 years for me since I've seen this.
When they added Goosebumps to Netflix a couple years back, I watched all of them.
Yeah, same.
For better and for worse.
Oh, man. So I in Canada, they're not streaming anywhere except for if you like buy them on Google Play.
Okay.
So I bought all six seasons.
There you go.
So
your kid
now,
will appreciate it.
Now I have, well, that's the thing. And now I have them forever. Plot wise, it's kind of hard.
Cheesy.
What's that?
It starts out real cheesy.
Oh, like
real,
cheesy
real
as hell.
National Lampoon's Vacation.
Yes.
About
and
the boobs and the swearing.
Yeah, exactly. It is hard to take a children's book, but a book and adapt it to a television episode. Not even a series, but an episode.
Two-part episode.
Yeah. One of the, well, I shouldn't say that. I think each season has like 3 two-part episodes. Night of the Living Dummy is like 6 parts or some shit like that. but, it's hard, and I think that they did a pretty good job. I mean, obviously, it's cheesy. It's from the 90s.
It
like,
starts off
like the late
very,
90s.
You're right. It starts off incredibly cheesy, but and it always has that 90s cheese to it, which I think whenever we review Are You Afraid of the Dark, I think that will be different because that was definitely meant to be edgier. But the plot gets better. It gets easier to watch after the opening. Like when it first starts, it's like, oh my God, this is not going to, But as it goes on, the cheese is definitely still there. It's just.
Well, it's not in like the forefront, right?
Kind of cheese.
Well, because it's not like shoved in your face, because I mean, basically the reason that fireball and that real cheesy stuff is there is because they have to get you to Horrorland. And once you get into Horrorland,
the conversations between the parents and the kids in the car.
Oh, I don't.
That's what I am specifically talking about.
I'll get into that in audio, but oh boy. Oh boy. But I mean, I think they did a really good job of adapting this book to a 2-part episode. I mean, we are reviewing both parts as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I kind of enjoyed it. It was very. It's weird because obviously now if I were to ever go to a theme park and that was like the first thing I saw, I'd be like, no, this is fucked up. Like I'm getting it.
Yeah, we're leaving. We aren't staying here.
But it was kind of interesting to see like the youngest kid like kind of be more oh, it's all fake. Like it's, yeah. It's great. It's fun. And obviously the more mature daughter was kind of a little skeptic. And then obviously the parents were parents in Goosebumps. Yep. Parents in Goosebumps are like the dumbest people ever.
Unless yeah. they're monsters, they're dummies.
Yeah. And until like the very end, which is, I mean, the case here, but it was interesting to see. It was nice to see the kid, like basically kids going through a theme park, not realizing that it's trying to kill them basically.
Yeah. So that's pretty much my thoughts too. I think I thought the plot was good. I liked the ending. I mean, I've watched enough Goosebumps to like expect something like that to happen. Mm-hmm. It had good jumps to it. Like, you know, like plot beats, you know what I mean? Like they start realizing more and more, the parents are like kind of freaking out. The cheese got to me, like, especially when they went on the game show and stuff like that was rough.
Oh, I'll tell you right now. If I was reviewing these separate, I think I enjoy part one more than I enjoy part two.
110%.
Yeah. Cause I mean, as soon as you get to part two,
I did like the ending to this. I know you are a fan of the book ending.
Yes.
I didn't remember the book ending until you mentioned it. Even then it's so rocky. Cause this isn't like one of the ones that were like always in my head.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I did really like how like they got away, but they were stuck on the edge, and then it was like they were on a TV show for monsters. And I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I have a lot of problems when it comes to like the game show part of this episode. I mean, I think like you said, that's kind of where like you get a lot of the cheese in the front. And then that game show, man, it is like, it's cheese in your face.
It's overtly cheesy, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a little unfortunate because I think that, again, they do a good, I don't know how you could really play that scarier, yeah. but still for kids, kind of. Mm-hmm. I do understand why they had to do that, but, I mean, it kind of sucks. It really takes away from part one, mm-hmm. personally. And like you said, I mean, I didn't really enjoy the ending. So on the back half of this watch, there wasn't really a whole lot for me.
All right. So that being said, I gave it a 5.5.
I gave it a 5. I liked the first half. Didn't like the second half, basically. So
okay. Cinematography. I want to keep a little bit going a little bit faster because I ran it for like 20 minutes at the beginning of the episode, and I know I you still want to do something very big at the end, and I don't want to go too late.
Okay.
So cinematography. I like how the monsters looked. I thought they looked cool. The eyes were real, and that was like probably super. Like that was like the scariest thing for me. We'll talk about that in the end, but like how like the eyes were there, you know what I mean, like in the monsters, like they and this goes back to Haunted Mask too, like that's what made that one so spooky and like so terrifying, is that it was like prosthetic and real, and it was ugh.
Well yeah, and that's the thing, right? And it wasn't like the eyes behind the mask weren't like obviously this person is wearing a mask. It was like, I mean, even now it still looked
it was
good.
Impressive.
Yeah, I
some
agree.
Of the scares were pretty good, how they shot it, like the spider, like obviously the kid wasn't in the coffin with the spider, but yeah. It was shot in such a way that it looked like it was. I like that. Same with the mirror house. I thought they did a lot of really cool camera tricks. But with that being said, it is a 90s Saturday morning kids
cartoon,
show.
Or not a cartoon, but yeah.
There are some rough, rough cuts. The fireballs that Justin mentioned at the very beginning were...
God, those fucking fireballs.
Something else. But that was really small because the big thing here are the monsters, and even like the girl's like head that would, the monster was carrying at the very beginning.
I thought
like,
it actually
I
looked
thought
okay.
It was okay. Yeah. Like overall, I was really impressed. Again, like this doesn't have Alejandro Iñárritu's like cinematic eye from Birdman, right? Like this isn't that kind of thing, but for a Saturday morning cartoon, it was pretty good. And honestly, that's how I kind of remember Goosebumps, is being like a very well-produced kids show. And overall, it was good.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Obviously, it's got like that late 90s Saturday morning vibe, but it still looked good. And like the shots, obviously, there was, like you said, there was a lot of rough cuts, but the shots themselves were like clean. And I don't know. I think they did a good job of like framing everything. Like you mentioned, like the spider obviously wasn't in the coffin with him, but they showed it in a way that it looked like it was.
And the kids obviously weren't in coffins rolling down, but the way they shot it, it looked like they were. Like, they had the slits in the top of the coffin. I thought for the errors that were there and the problems that were there, I thought overall it was good. So that being said, I gave it a 7. I was impressed.
I also gave it a 7.
Moving on to audio, two parts of this one for me, and the first one I think we'll both agree, the score for the Goosebumps theme song.
Oh, it's a fucking masterpiece.
Is probably more iconic, and this hurts to say, than the Michael Myers theme song, than the Jaws theme song, which we're going to get to later this season. Like, you hear that, and you know it.
Oh.
Like,
no,
if you've heard it now on the pod, because Justin's going to be playing it underneath the 60 seconds, but like, even before that, you know. Like, you know. If you grew up during that time, you know. And, like, for something to be that far removed, like, think about the last time you read a Goosebumps book or watched a Goosebumps show. Like,
yeah.
And you still know it.
Yeah.
Like, same. Like, the thing is, like, Are You Afraid of the Dark is kind of the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, but not on that level. Like, Are You Afraid of the Dark is good, but it's not the Goosebumps score good. And that is why this score will be as high as it is, because the acting in this
I'm glad to see we agree.
Oof. The worst performance is going to go to the little brother.
Oh yes, absolutely.
I think they dubbed his words over him. Like, sometimes I didn't even think he was like the actual actor in the show saying it.
That is ADR. That is what I am talking about. That is okay. Every time I bitch about it, that is what I am talking about.
Okay. And it was bad. He was awful. The parents sucked. I thought the monsters were okay, but they were, except for the game show host, the monsters were barely like really acting. They were there chasing him and stuff, but they weren't like acting. The game show host was probably the best performance, and then followed probably by the older sister.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like that.
But it is bad. It is what makes this hard to watch, is the acting.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's laughable, really. I mean, it hurts to say that, because I'm sure I would act worse than they did, but to watch it, it does make it a little rough.
Yes, and time did not help. So the reason why the score is as high as it is again because of that score,
the Goosebumps score. The fucking Goosebumps theme song, man.
I gave it a 5, and it's pretty much the score.
I gave it a 5 as well, because goddamn, I mean, if I did not love the intro and outro, like,
yeah, it'd be pretty low.
Best part, yeah.
Okay, how scary? I'm going to let you go first, because as you've already said, this is one of those Goosebumps episodes that stuck with you from a time as a child. So, and like, I remember it, but not like you do. So tell me how you felt then, how you felt going back and watching it now, and like kind of where you are with it.
So I never found this to be a scary episode, even as a child. Obviously even more so now, but I think I just enjoyed the overall fun and the overall feel of them having to go to a theme park and it's filled with monsters and they don't know it. That being said, I mean, none of it was really this time. The spider was gross as all hell, but it didn't really get to me.
That's because it was real, Justin. That was a real tarantula.
No, I know. But for some reason, it didn't get to me. And I mean, even as a child, this was probably the episode that bugged me the least, because it was never, I mean, even back then, it was never that scary. And I mean, that's where I kind of stand right now, is it's just, to me personally, it is probably the least scary Goosebumps episode. And I mean, that's going to be reflected in my score. So
the least scary Goosebumps episode?
Yeah, oh yes.
There are some really not scary Goosebumps episodes.
I'll have to go back and watch them all. This is from my memory.
I want you to hear me. There are some really not scary Goosebumps episodes. Okay. As someone who's done this, I think, more recently than you.
Yes, probably. Like,
if this is your bottom, my God, sir, strap in.
I'm sure it gets worse.
Because you bought them all. So you owe it to yourself to watch them. You will readjust. Because there are times in this, when I watched it, I jumped. I jumped when the monster popped up when they first got there in the booth. because I told her about that happening, and then I did get shivers from the spider.
Yeah.
And then I think I got a little bit startled when the werewolf grabbed the monster that helped him out.
Okay, yeah. Oh, man, I forgot about that part, yeah.
But you're right. This isn't that scary. Like, I'm not even going to, like, sit here and pretend. I just want to get very, very, very clear. There are far less scarier Goosebump books than this one.
Okay. I believe you. I do believe you.
Okay. I just want to make sure that you are aware. Because, my God. I gave it a 3.
I give it a 2.
It startled me, and the spiders were there. 2?
Yeah, I give it a 2. I mean, I obviously, I kind of went into it knowing it wasn't going to be terrifying or anything, but I don't know. Just like you said, the guy jumping up and, like, kind of when they first get there, and even when they're the two kids are by themselves and the one guy, like, jumps out of the forest and, like,
yeah,
what are you doing here? Get away. That guy kind of freaked me out, but yeah.
Yeah. I feel you. And again, like, I remember watching it as a kid. I don't remember really anything about it. I remember, like, the beats. I remember like the game show and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, this one didn't stick out. I would wonder if we ever get into an appropriate season to do a Night in Terror Tower or a Haunted Mask, or maybe even like a Are You Afraid of the Dark episode, which I really would like to do.
There are some
that still spook me. But
I figured I'd save this to the end here. It was announced early last year that they are rebooting the TV series.
Of Goosebumps?
Yes. And it is going to be the director of the first movie.
Oh, cool. That'd be good. Yeah. I'd be down for that. All right, to review the scores for plot, I gave it a 5.5, Justin gave it a 5. For cinematography, both gave it 7s. For audio, we both gave it 5s, and that's because of the score. And then for how scary, I gave it a 3, Justin gave it a 2. That gives it a Here's Johnny final score of a 49. That slots it in the master list between Pet Sematary, the 2019 boring-ass remake, and also a very boring-ass episode, and right above Resident Evil Afterlife.
Man, that Pet Sematary episode, that is probably like our worst episode. I'm just going
to say that. I totally agree, and it's why I ride you so hard about beating games too fast, is because I don't want that to happen ever again.
Oh my God, we watched that movie and reviewed it like a month and a half later.
It's what it
God,
felt
that
like.
Was
and
the
it
worst.
Was, and it was a bad movie when we watched it, and it was a bad review when we reviewed it.
Yep.
But yeah, that's kind of where it falls. It's definitely in the lower portion of our reviews, but I enjoyed doing it. It was fun. It was a nice break from all these older movies we've been watching, and I thought it was good. So with that, we're going to listen to a commercial from one of the member podcasts of Kaleidoscope Media Network and head on into the closing, where I promised you something special was waiting.
Do you ever watch a horror movie and think, oh, wow, that headshot didn't have nearly enough blood? Don't the writers know that 20% of your blood is in your head?
Are you the type of person that tells your friends, well, why yes, in space no one can hear you scream because the molecules are too far apart to transmit sound waves?
Does it seriously annoy you when a horror movie doesn't explain its rules to you or claims to have horror rules and then just ignores them?
Do you ever express these concerns to your friends who tell you that you should stop worrying so much because it's just a horror movie, Sam?
Then stop lecturing your friends about physics and come listen to our podcast, That's Not How Science Works, which I co-host with my awesome friend Nicole.
In our podcast, Caitlin and I discuss science in different pieces of media, such as movies or TV shows, in various genres, and dissect whether that science is good, bad, or just plain ridiculous. Often we also have special guests who help us rant about bad science in their areas of expertise.
We release new episodes every other Monday, and you can find us wherever you usually download your podcasts. We like to think of this as a podcast for the science curious. Whether you're Sam with a dedicated YouTube channel complaining about bad science and horror movies, or just like to learn things while listening to friends banter about what they watched that week, we'd love for you to listen in.
You can find out more by going to our website, thatsnotscience.com, or by looking us up on Twitter at @thnhswpod. We hope you give us a listen. Now back to your regularly scheduled horror enthusiasts, Larry and Justin, and that's definitely a word that's a real word and not a word that I just made up, and whatever terrifying thing they're discussing that would probably give me daymares for a week.
All right, Justin, so we made a promise, and I think it's getting late, and I know this kid's kind of someone who goes to bed early. So why don't you go ahead and do what you're going to do?
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you that you can probably stop your recording because I got to bring all the audio on from my side. Are you here still? Are you here?
I'm here.
Okay. It's supposed to be dialing.
Hello.
Hello again. I got it working. Pretend I didn't already call you and talk to you.
Well, this is awkward, Justin. Thank you for making this as creepy as possible. We'll do a 3-2-1 and we can like pretend that we weren't just struggling with that for like 20 minutes.
Oh, I already cut all that out.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
All right. So we are joined now by our very first ever patron, Seagram, a.k.a. Matt. And we are having him on because he has been working on something for us in the background. And Matt, we figured there would be no one better to talk about what's going on than the executive producer of our show and guru of the website. So the floor is yours, buddy.
Didn't I tell you he was Sorry better at this than me?
Yeah, well, as Larry mentioned, yeah, I'm working on the new Here's Johnny website. I've been working on it for about a week now, getting it up to snuff so that we can actually launch on Monday when this episode should be dropping. So, yeah, I've been working on transferring some of the stuff over from the old site, getting the podcast working on the new website, and then also I'm not sure if Larry's mentioned this yet or not, but updating the new blog. It'll be called The Overlook, and I'll be posting reviews there every other week myself.
And I actually just found out, Larry, while you were on hold, that he is watching the movie he is going to be reviewing next.
I saw that because we were recording, Matt. That's why we didn't answer you. And that is actually a movie that's been on my list for a while, so I want to know if you like it or not.
Yeah, I'll let you read it before I before I put it up there.
Yeah, and we're really excited, and we just wanted to thank you. And then also, since we have you here, and it'll make it easier and less work for you since you are now very busy. Next week, we are reviewing the film The Host. It is your patron forced entry for the Kaiju season. And I just wanted you to tell us and the audience a little bit, why did you select this movie?
So I actually am still yet to see that movie myself. So for one, that's one of the movies that's on my list to watch. I seem to have a fondness for Korean movies because I keep picking them. But The Host is actually kind of an iconic monster movie in that they kind of broke the mold. Something that's kind of well known for the movie is that, you know, in this genre, a lot of times they wait, you know, they build up tension and they wait and they wait, and you might catch glimpses of the monster, but you typically don't see it until the very end.
Yeah.
With The Host, they like first 15 of the minutes of the movie, the monster's there and just terrorizing everything. And it just works.
And it's directed by the same guy who directed Parasite, right?
Yeah. Yep. Director of Parasite as well. Yeah.
I'm actually really looking forward to it next week.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, this was all Justin's idea. So hopefully you don't find this too awkward. We didn't put you out from enjoying family time.
Oh, no, I'm just glad you told me to answer because it said restricted and I probably wouldn't have. So.
Oh, well, I'm using Skype because I was going to do it on my phone, but I also realized it would cost me a lot of money. So,
don't worry. We announced your phone number, your personal phone number, Seagram, to the entire world. Too,
oh, yeah.
So that's going to be on this episode.
Don't worry, I'll cut it.
Oh, good. Appreciate that, yeah.
All right, we'll let you go. Thank you so much for answering, Matt, and thank you for everything you're doing for us. And again, like he said, the site launches Monday with this episode drop.
And Matt, before you go, I just want to also say thank you for being our very first patron and sticking with us this long. We've had some pretty big bullshit episodes, like we talked about on this episode already. So thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad to do it, guys. I'm glad I've been here for the ride.
All right, I'm excited to play Demo Day with you in a week.
Yep, me too, man.
All right, peace. Good night.
Night.
Kick from the call. So aggressive, Skype. But yeah, like you said, Matt is we made him the executive producer of the show. Yep. He's, like I said, he's been around the longest, and then he's also fully in charge of the website. So he is working on that. It looks so good. Make sure you go out and check it. We'll include a link to it in the show notes. Make sure you go read his first blog post. It's on the movie Monstrum. It was a Shudder original
he writes really, really, really well. And we're just trying to, generate more content for everybody.
And kind of like we said, he's been there for us since day one. And he's like, he's always wanting to talk horror and everything with us. So we've obviously gotten close to him. Like, he's one of our great friends. He's a good friend. Like, so we figured, you know what?
Record many episodes that have died in audio hell.
Yeah, well, exactly, right? So, and I'm sure this might be one of them. hopefully he didn't jinx this episode. But, we couldn't think of anybody better, really. And it's
been fun. And he did such a great job, so make sure you go check it out.
Oh, he's been giving us updates the whole time. And it, like, I already told him this, but the work he did, like, even just last weekend is work that would have taken us probably months.
Oh, and we
would
have just given around up for like one whole day and got like one page done and hated what I did. What he did in like a week and a half.
Yeah.
It looks so good.
I am so really grateful excited for it, because we've had this domain since August.
we were playing a lot of Resident Evil. Get off the Max.
Yeah.
Okay. This episode's been long enough. Okay, thank you guys all so much. Like you mentioned, next week is a patron for Century. It's The Host. It is a foreign film. Make sure you go check it out if you haven't yet. And Justin, any last thoughts?
Just go check out the site. Matt put a lot, like, an incredible amount of work into it. He kicked
some serious ass, man.
Yeah, and, we're grateful for it. And hopefully... Do I call all of our patrons whenever their episode is next, and we just like on the spot force them to tell us why?
I do have the majority of their phone numbers.
Okay, well then, get ready for that, everybody.
We'll have to see. But yeah, guys, thank you so much. Thanks for enjoying my rant, hopefully, and thanks for coming to Horrorland with us. But most importantly, until next week, stay scary. The Here's Johnny podcast is brought to you by Larry and Justin. You can find the show on Twitter at Here's Johnny Cast, and you can find Larry at Beaver LA.
You can find Justin at Pickle Thing, and you can email the show at heresjohnnypodcast@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook at Here's Johnny Podcast.
As always, in the show notes, you can find links to the Discord and to the website. We are also on Instagram at @HeresJohnny_podcast.
Also in the show notes, we'll have a link to the Twitch and YouTube channels. And if you would like to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/HeresJohnnyPodcast. Every cent goes into the show. And yeah, we just really use it to make the show better. Again, I just want to say thank you very much to our patrons. You guys help make this possible.
But yeah, Patreon is the way we support the show. We aren't looking to get rich. And like Justin said, every dollar, every cent, it all goes back in. There's some pretty cool tiers, so head on and look at that.
But until next week, see you guys later.